Yeah. mysterious way.
All this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a real blessing to be here with you all. It's a blessing to share with Sylvester and Abigail and their families, and friends, and brothers and sisters, and just a real blessing to share in this time together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Father. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us, Father. Lord, we thank you again for your love that you've shown to us, Father, shed abroad, Father, in our hearts. And Lord, we just ask you to help us to be a true reflection of your mercy and gentleness and kindness to one another. Father, we ask that you would fill us, God, with your Spirit. Lord, that we might be like you, Father. And Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word and look into it, Father, for our lives, God. And just again, thank you. Fill us again with your Spirit. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, we're going to open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Again, it's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. be glad to get Wilbur and Mike back to normal for a little while. Pretty nervous. Let's just open the Bible. Chapter 5, verse 22 is where we'll begin. The heading on my verse in my Bible says, marriage like Christ and the church. And let's just begin here reading verse 22. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. A lot of people would take offense at these words in the world we're living in today. But, you know, we all, this world, it seems like everyone's seeking for their own happiness. And I just want to share with you a little secret. If you're seeking your own happiness, you'll never find it. You'll always come up short. We are a created being, and our purpose in this life is to serve God, to love Him, and do His will, not our own. Sin, the whole heart of sin, is someone just trying to please themselves, doing their own thing, doing their own will. One of the first commandments that Jesus gives us about following Him, He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. That is the true source of happiness and joy and peace. And that comes by not pursuing what we want out of life, but giving ourselves to someone else. You know, if you lose your life, Jesus said, you'll find it. And if you find your life, you'll lose it. You know, we can have all the pleasures and all the joys in this world and think that we're happy. And I don't know how many people we've seen in the world, or you just see it over and over again. People who have everything, and they're the most miserable people there is, because they're just that's not where true joy and happiness lives. True joy and happiness is in a loving submission to Christ, as Him being the Lord of your life. We're all going to be servants to someone. You know, people that just have no responsibilities and no cares in the world think that they're free, but they're in slavery, trying to make themselves happy. So it just starts out here, it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. You know, like I said, that's not a popular theme today, but looking at the shape of the world, who wants to pursue what it has to offer? There's just nothing there. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, we think that's a pretty hard statement, you know, but submitting yourself to your husband just like he was the Lord. You know, that we think that's a hard thing. But for a Christian, Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And He said, whatever we do to the least of these among us, we're doing it as unto Him. And so we treat each other. We're supposed to treat each other like our Lord. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. What it means to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, whenever Jesus came into this world, He came as a man. He came in the flesh. You know, a lot of people are afraid of God, and they have this idea of how terrible God is. But God came in the flesh, and He walked among us. And you know, He wasn't a terrible being to be feared. People hated Him because He exposed their falseness. But he was a man that walked among us and lived among us, and he was a servant to all men. And that's the key to treating others the way we should be treated. So it's no big deal for a woman to submit to her husband as unto the Lord, because we're actually all supposed to be submitting ourselves one to another and putting others above ourselves. So it's just a picture of what Christ has done for us. And marriage is a union of a man and a woman, and it's a picture of Christ's church being united with him. We're the bride waiting for the bridegroom to return for us one of these days. Verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." There again, that's something that, you know, "I'll have no man rule over me." And that's the cry today, it seems. But that is not the way we were created. You know, God created man in the Garden of Eden, and he created a woman as to be her helper, to be his helper, his helpmeet. That is not a subservient position. Submission comes from below. Jesus himself submitted himself to God. And that's just a picture of, like I said, the marriage and man's role in following Jesus and a part of the church. The husband is the head of the wife. That doesn't mean that he's just the dictator or the ruler or the boss, and so he's just got to be feared. It means he's the one that's responsible for how the family goes. And it's his job to be a rock, a leader in the home, a stabilizing effect in the home, a provider in the home. That's his responsibility. Some people hear that, "Well, I'm the boss," or "I'm the head." That means I'm the one in charge of everything. No, that means you're the servant to everything. The higher up you are in position, the more responsible you are to making sure the lowest things get done in life. You know, it's just, that's reality. You know, there's pictures of people who are the boss and they just go around telling everybody everything, but those things fall apart. But a real head, a real leader, is someone who takes the responsibility for making sure everything is operating smoothly. Making sure that love is the head of the home. That Christ is the head of the home, and it's operated in love. You know, like I said, our image of God and our image of what we think of as submission and is just all twisted up by the world, because God doesn't want us, or God wants us to see who he is. Satan wants us to see who we perceive God is, or who he perceives it as, some tyrant and ruler. God is love, and he manifests that love in Christ. And that it's not just something he just didn't come to, if we just believe that he died, that we're all good. He wants to actually be the Lord of our lives, the King of our lives. And that takes a big responsibility on our part, that we have to respond to that. That when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth," we are to be a reflection of God. I've told people over and over again, you know, the reason a lot of times we can't forgive other people is because we've never really tasted forgiveness ourselves. The reason we have a hard time loving other people is because we've never really tasted that love ourselves. You know, whenever we've got to the place where we surrender to Christ as Lord of our life and we actually see who Christ is and who God really is, and we get a glimpse of that, then we can reflect that to other people. And that's what a Christian is just simply being a reflection of what God is to this world. And that's our purpose. The husband being the head, like I said, is not some rough bully, but someone who actually is responsible and takes care of his home. Like I said, to be a rock, a stabilizer. And I think that what I know of Sylvester, I appreciate that he is a stabilizer. He's a strong, just puts his head down and does his business and does his work and just is right there. And I really appreciate that. And that's a good principle. That's a good characteristic for a husband. You know, the wife sometimes will kind of be all over the place, but as long as her rock's there and her anchor is solid and right there, we can always come back. And it's bad whenever the husband's all over the place and we're kind of both going this way and that way, and that causes a lot of problems whenever we're on the wrong path when we cross. But if you can be that rock and then just always something, and that rock centered around Christ and doing His will. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. You know, like I said, submission comes from below. When Christ was, the night before He was crucified in the garden, He sweat great drops of blood. He was a man, and He knew what He was facing the next day. He knew that the whole world was resting on His shoulders, and I took great comfort in this. You know, sometimes whenever I see something I don't want to do or I don't like, Christ said, "Lord, if it's possible, Father, if it's possible, take this away from me." He didn't just look for pain and punishment. He saw something hard and bad, and He said, "Lord, take this away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." You know, sometimes the husband may see a vision or have a view of something that to go a certain way or to do a certain thing, and it's hard sometimes for the wife to, she might disagree with him and might not like what he's doing. Her comfort and her rest can be in submitting to the Lord and saying, I don't understand this. And it's all right for her to say, I don't understand this. But nevertheless, Your will be done. That is a perfect picture of the Almighty God and His vision for this world. It's not something strange and mean and cruel and ugly looking in the world. It's, as the world sees it, it's a beautiful thing. It's the very picture of Christ. Like I said, we have this idea of perfect, and we chase after that like a carrot on a string. You know, you've seen the picture of the donkey, and they hold a carrot over its mouth, and it's running to catch this, and as fast as he runs, the carrot's just always right. That's the world trying to find happiness, when true happiness is just being what God wants us to be. Sometimes giving up what we think is right and doing what the Lord thinks is right, or what somebody like our husband would be over us. one of the biggest misconceptions about marriage is that his purpose in life is to make me happy, or her purpose in life is to make me happy. That'll never work, because he'll fail you. If that's your goal, if your goal in life is for him, if you think his purpose is to make you happy, you'll never be happy. That happiness has to come in your willingness to make him happy, and your willingness to make her happy. But if we begin expecting that, that's just a recipe for failure. You know, people look for perfection in life. And I kind of have a little bit about weddings. You know, some people think this is the ultimate day. And I've said it before, you know, if this is the ultimate day in your life to marriage and everything has to be perfect, the sad thing, if that's the pinnacle of your life, everything will be downhill from there. This is the beginning. And it's a beginning of giving yourselves one to another and giving yourselves to Christ. That's where the real happiness is, the real steadiness is when we can lose ourselves in somebody else's will or somebody else's. That's, like I said, it doesn't make sense to the world, because they're out to get their own. But our true source of happiness is to lose our lives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen this before, you know. I say these words, you know, wives, be subject to your own husband. And the husband looks over at his wife and says, hey, did you hear that? And then you get to this part, it says, husbands, love your wife. And the wife goes, did you hear that? It's so easy for us to hear each other's message and not hear the one that was directed to us, because we're worried about them making us happy instead of me making them happy. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, this marriage is a beautiful thing. And it's the two become one. And the only way that can happen is whenever they unite together. The one submits to the other as the head, and the head loves his wife. You know, that's when it's beautiful. Not out of fear, but out of just truly trying to reflect the love of God. Sometimes, you know, there's problems, and sometimes there's things that go wrong. That's where we have to make the determination that we're going to be faithful no matter what happens. You know, there's times that people do have problems, but pressing through those problems is what makes a marriage. Just because, whenever, you know, most people, whenever something starts to go wrong, they panic and they just make decisions and make choices instead of just you know, we've talked about the storms. We've had rain and rain and rain, it seems like, all spring. And sometimes our troubles come that way, and it just looks like the sun is never going to shine again. I've asked the young people, you know, like today, is the sun shining? And some people might say, no, the sun's not shining. But the sun is still shining. There's just clouds in the way. That sun is still shining. And that's the way it happens sometimes whenever there's troubles in our lives. You know, there's people that just have a spirit of divorce, it seems like, that when trouble comes, they just got to panic and get out of that trouble instead of just buckling down and saying, no, love's going to keep me through this. You know, that's why, you know, in the vows, people say it's for better, worse, rich or poor, sickness, health, good times, bad times. You know, and there's bad times and there's hard times going to happen. And, you know, but that's those hard times is what makes you a better person, makes you a better wife, makes you a better husband. Just go through them. There's storms never last. They're just here for a little while, just like everything else. And if our heart and our attitude's about having everything just perfect, and that's the only way I can be happy, like I said, you won't be happy very much in life. But if you can learn to be happy, even in the hard times, you can love even in the difficult times. You just keep pressing on. You know, we just live in a society that's just ready to give up, throw in the towel, first sign of problem. But he that perseveres to the end shall be saved. And that's the important thing here. You know, like I said, we're so quick to try to get rid of our problems, thinking that that's going to make us happy, but that's not the answer. The answer is keep on. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is just, they're one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So many parallels here of the church and marriage. Just a beautiful thing. Nevertheless, each individual also, you among you also, is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. I think it was last week I talked about, or last few weeks we talked about this just a little bit, just the respect. I mean, I've heard of stories where the woman was married to a man, and he might have had, maybe he wasn't the smartest in the world. Whenever she was dating, he looked like he was a genius, and then whenever, you know, a few years in, she looked up and she just thought he was a dummy. That happens. But the problem is you still look at him like he's a genius. That's how you get through that. You still love him and take care of him. You know, but whenever all the... we talk about being Twitter-pated. You know, just... there's kind of something happens to young men and young women whenever they're dating and everything's roses and everything looks wonderful. And then a few years, reality sets in. Well, you look past that reality and you love them just the way they are. You respect him just the way he is. You respect her just the way she is. That's the way you get through this. You know, like I said, it's easy. Well, he wasn't, here was Prince Charming, and now he's not anymore. Well, that's because it's your eyes have changed. That isn't his fault. Now, or it isn't hers. I mean, things will change. But you devote yourself to love them, lift them up, respect them. You know, like I said a couple weeks ago that, you know, whenever a woman looks at her husband and makes him think he's a giant, there's a pretty good chance he'll go on and be a giant. But if she looks at him and makes him feel like a low-down loser, there's a pretty good chance he'll act like a low-down loser. There's a lot in our hands whenever we're working with each other. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, I look at things like this and weddings and all the preparation that goes in, and I think, boy, there's just a lot going on here. And then I remember that Jesus went to a wedding, you know, and that was a big fuss back then too, and he went to it and he ordained this. This is a big deal to God. It's how humanity is propagated. And praise the Lord whenever a couple starts out with a plan to finish to the end God's will for humanity. We need the light of a godly marriage in this world. You know, our influence on this world, I said it before again that, you know, whenever you think of even Sodom and Gomorrah, and we can look at the world and it looks like it's headed just that way. And Abraham, God told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people, would you destroy it? You know, we think that God destroyed it because of the wickedness there. Then Abraham asked, and he said, God told him, no, I won't destroy it. If there's 50 righteous people, and he got all the way down to 10 righteous people, and God said, I will not destroy it. We see the reason the land was destroyed wasn't because of the wickedness in it. It was because there wasn't any light left in it. You are the light of the world. And that light, whenever it sees the true love of God reflected back on it, it lifts the world around you. And if there's anything this world needs right now, is a godly family, godly young men, godly young women, godly people in it, to reflect that there's something better than what it has to offer us. Lord add his blessings. May the Lord bless Sylvester and Abigail that they might be the light of this world. I'm going to turn it over to them and they can say their vows to each other.
To love you and honor you and care for you in sickness and in health, in hardship and prosperity. I promise to stay with you, cherish you, love you, protect you, comfort you, encourage you, and lead you for as long as we both shall live. Before God and these witnesses, thank you to be my wife. Love you.
With all my heart, I choose to be your wife and to love you to the best of my ability. By the grace of God, I will strive to be your biggest helper and friend in the easy times and in the hard times. I will strive to be happy and supportive of the journey the Lord leads us on and the way he chooses to lead them. I desire to daily lay down myself for you and your desires and needs, to honor and love and serve God by honoring and loving and serving you. I give myself wholeheartedly to you as long as you show it.
Well, may the Lord bless and keep you both. I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Sylvester Grable. Keep me in your prayers. God bless you. Prepared. Everyone's invited to stay. we'll ask the blessing here, and then I'd say probably just kind of file out from the front to the back.
Family can stay for pictures.
Okay, family will stay for pictures. So, the rest of that, all right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll just, if you're not part of the picture crew, you can start in front and just follow your way to, I think there's two lines. Tables in the front are more reserved for the family, so. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe we'll stand for this prayer. Father, again, we come before you and we thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Father, for Sylvester and Abigail and their families, and each one gathered here. Father, we just ask your blessing, Father, upon this union. Lord, we just ask you to fill them with your spirit, God. Lord, we just thank you for this food that's been prepared for us. We ask your blessing upon it, Father, that you nourish our bodies to do your will. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.